The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, everybody. That was awesome to get a little update from their mission trip. I told the first service when we watched that I was a little nervous when he said, Harvest, go be the church. I thought everybody's going to leave. So I'm glad you didn't do that. And I'll give you another opportunity at the end of service for those that are really needing that moment. But good to be with you this morning. As you just heard, Pastor Jason is out in Panama on that mission trip. And I just would say, go on a mission trip. Everybody needs to go on a mission trip. If you have not been on one, it will be life-changing for you to go. It doesn't have to be real expensive. It doesn't even have to be overseas. It doesn't have to be any particular length of time. But my experience has been every time I've gone on a mission trip, I've gotten outside of my comfort zone. I have tried things I've never thought of trying before. It has transformed me. It has changed me. It kind of resets me. So I try to go on at least once every year because I personally need that reset. So just a little encouragement there for you this morning. Everybody doing okay? Awesome. Man, I enjoyed worshiping with you a few moments ago. I love coming to church and having that opportunity to see I'm not alone, but we're here together and we can worship God. This morning, I am picking up on part four of the series, Life Hacks. Have you guys been enjoying this series? All right, has anybody found any hacks because of this series that have changed your life? Awesome. Fantastic. That was the exact same response as first service. So apparently, there is a difference between one hack to the next. Some hacks have value and others are just a waste of your time, right? And I've been looking at hacks. I've been every time I go on social media, it seems like somebody reposted some list of hacks. And every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, some new stuff. I click, it's all the same stuff I've already seen before. And most of it, I'm going, this is more expensive than just buying the right thing for this. And it's way harder. And so I don't understand it. But anyway, we're in this series. There are some decent hacks. My wife reminded me last night that we actually use a few what we would call life hacks. The one we use mostly is if you take a clothing hanger that holds pants, it has the two clips on the sides, and you break those clips off or cut them off, those make perfect closures for your chip bags. Roll it up, clip it on. See? Yes, exactly. What an amazing thing. Or you can just buy the regular clips for 25 cents. But either way, we use those, and I'm sure we have others. But today, I'm going to be sharing a hack with you. Everybody curious about what's in here? It's full of snakes. No, it's not. Okay. There are no snakes in here. But I do have several things. The first thing is one of these. Tell me if you recognize this. This is an over-the-door shoe hanger. Anybody ever seen one of these? Do you already know where I'm going with this? You've already seen the hack? A few, okay. So these are for shoes, but if you're a size 13 like me, it's useless. Your shoe will not fit in here, okay? But if you're like a regular footed person with a small foundation, then your shoes can fit in here, and that's what this is made for. So that's not the hack. The hack is this can be used for all kinds of organization and storage. You can hang this. It comes with little hooks. You can hang it inside your pantry, and you can put water bottles in it. You can fill it up with macaroni and cheese if you got three kids like I do. You can put whatever you want in there. You can hang it in your children's closet on the inside of the door, and you can fill it full of Lego pieces, those ones you step on and feel like you're going to die. Pick those up and put them in here so you won't do that. Any kind of organization that you can do. Now, I'm glad that Russ is in here. Some of the worship team wasn't able to be here in the first service, but they're in here today because this is for you guys, okay? It's for the worship team. This, I saw at a church recently I was visiting, there was one of these hanging in what they called their green room, which is where the worship team gets ready. They have mics and equipment and stuff like that before they come out to lead worship. This was hanging on the wall. They had screwed it in through these holes, and in it, they had organized some stuff. They had put their in-ear monitor power packs inside of here to hold them. They had folded up their earphones, their earbuds, and they were keeping those in there. There was all kinds of different miscellaneous things. There were microphones. It holds mics really well. Just a great tool. But the thing that was really cool, what I thought was awesome, is I watched a lady that was one of the vocalists. She walked over and she took her pack out, put it on. She took her earbuds out. She got them all set up. And she had a coffee mug in her hand. And so then as she reached for her microphone with one hand, she replaced it with her coffee mug. And it held her coffee until she was done leading worship and was able to go back to it. Isn't that fantastic? So you can use it for just about any kind of organization except for your size 13 shoe. That won't work. But there's your hack for today. Anybody already use that? You do something with one of those? No? A couple people? Awesome. Well, I just changed the rest of your life. So you're welcome for sure. As we get into hacks today, we are trying to hack worry. That is our focus today. Pastor Tyler told you already. We are trying to hack worry, and we're going to hack worry with trust. And we'll be talking about that as we go on. You know what? There is no shortage of things in this world to worry about. Is that right? There are so many things that we can worry about. We can fill our minds with things to worry. We can make lists of things to worry about. We can put lists in our phones of things to worry about and reminders to make sure we worry about those things before they get there. I mean, it can go on and on and on. Well, I have the privilege of serving the Assemblies of God in New Mexico, which is about 103 churches, and I serve as the student ministries director for youth and children. And one of the things that you guys are aware of, and we just had an announcement for, is summer camps. That's what one of the things that we get to do. Me and my wife, Patty, we've been in this role for 10 years now. And so we've had 10 summer camp seasons. And it's incredible. 5 weeks of camp. We have youth camps and kids camps. Each week is about 300-ish people, about 1,300 people total. They kind of vary. And we have amazing times at camp. When we go to camp, we've come to expect, because God has just shown us this year after year after year, that many students will come to camp and give their lives to Jesus. What a powerful moment to be able to be there and experience that as they come forward and lay their lives before God and trust Him for the first time. Many students will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will experience miracles. A few years ago, there was a kid that came to pray at the altar one night at the front of the stage, and he got up and he left, and we noticed that he had left his glasses. So we found his glasses, we figured out who the kid was, we went to him and said, "Hey, you forgot your glasses, I think these are yours." And he said, "They were mine, and I was legally blind when I came here, but I don't need them anymore, because God healed me tonight." What an amazing, awesome thing. Well, we sent him home, and he went to the doctor, yeah, and he got checked out, and they said, "Yeah, we don't understand, but yeah, he can see now. It's really weird, you know." And we said, "Yes, that's so awesome. That's how God does things." And so we have just a huge list of things that we look back on from summer camps, and we praise God and we celebrate all that He has done in so many lives. But along with that, you know, with all the good stuff, there's always some challenging stuff. There's always some difficult things that life presents to us. And so I look back, and we've talked about this with our camp staff, and we've kind of named the various years based on the things that happened in those years. And it seems that every year there's like a distinct issue or challenge or problem that we have to work through. And so, for example, one of the earlier years as we were directing camps was we call the Year of the Fires. Because obviously there were fires in New Mexico that particular year. It was very dry, forest fires all over the place. And if you run a camp that's in the mountains, that's the last thing you want to hear, right? Is that there's fires in New Mexico. And so I had a lot of worried parents that were calling me. My phone was blowing up with parents calling and wanting updates. And we were, you know, we understand that. There's a lot of concern with that. And everything was fine. Everything was good until the wind began to blow the smoke towards our camp. And so even though there wasn't a fire really near us, we were experiencing the smoke. And when you walk out that morning and you see the smoke, everybody goes, "Oh, no." And so that was the year where we kind of hacked, basically, understanding forest fires for our camp. And we learned about the best ways to get proper updated information from the fire marshal and the authorities. That was the year that we figured out all the websites to see the updates for those kind of things. That was the year where we were able to look at our evacuation plan and update information and all that. But that was the thing that dominated that summer. Everything was fine, everything is fine, but that kind of just caused a lot of worry. Another year we call the Year of the Bears. You wonder why? No, you already know. Because that year, and we haven't had it before, and we haven't had it since, but that particular year, we had 4 bears, full-grown bears, that came through our camp every single night. We would be in the service, worshiping and hearing the word of God, and praying and responding, and then I was at the back of the room the first night before we let everybody out, and one of my staff came in frantic and said, "There's bears outside," and I went, "What? We've never had an issue like this." Well, that year we did. And so we had to figure out what to do with the bears. And so we had an idea. Now, I told you, some hacks are good and some are not. You have to determine, okay? So we found some paintball guns, and we came outside, and a couple of guys that were up to no good started making trouble in the neighborhood. That's for you, Jose. And they took paintball guns, and they took four-wheelers, and they chased off the bears, which I would submit is a terrible idea, but it worked, okay? And that was the hack for that particular year, the year of the bears. Another year we call the year of the bees. Isn't that wonderful? So this particular year, we didn't know anything was wrong until someone took their first can of soda, finished it, and tossed it in the trash can, only to find out that every trash can was full of bees. Why? I don't know, because we'd never had that problem, and we've never had it since. But that year, there were bees everywhere in the trash cans, and so we thought, what can we do with the bees? How do you deal with this? I mean, with 1,300 people in 5 weeks, you're going to have a lot of trash. What are you going to do? I went to Walmart, and I found this. This is amazing. Has anybody ever dealt with bees or wasps? If you have, this is the stuff. This shoots up to 20 feet. It turns it into a video game, and you can just stand back, and you can spray the bees, and we were able to deal with that issue. I don't know if you call that a hack or not, but I'm calling it one today because that's the sermon series. Another year was the year of the hospital. You wonder why? Because I went to the hospital constantly. I don't know why. Ever since then, it hasn't been an issue. But that year, everyone wanted to break something. That year, everyone wanted to throw themselves down a hill. I mean, it was just insanity. And so the hack for that year was, how can you best sleep in a lobby of a hospital chair? I mean, how can you make that happen? And so we worked on that, and I got a few hours of sleep here and there. Another year we call DVH-12. Doesn't that sound sinister? DVH-12. We name that. If you're wondering what DVH-12 stands for, it's diarrhea, vomit, headache, 2012. That particular year, we became very well acquainted with something called the norovirus and how quickly a virus like that can spread. Apparently, someone thought it was cool to send their kid to camp sick. And before it was over, we had a whole bunch of people sick. We didn't know what to do with it. We managed it. We did our best. We took care of things. And we found the best thing for us to do, or the hack for the day, was to send them home with one of these and one of these. Hey, you do what you got to do, right? You make it happen. So that was how we managed that particular year. And then last year was crazy. But last year we call the year of the snakes. I don't know why. Again, it never happened before. I'm hoping it doesn't happen again. But we had a whole bunch of rattlesnakes. Now, we always have one or two. It's in the mountains. And anytime you go to the mountains, there's going to be a little wildlife. But we have walking paths and everything's clear. You don't have to walk through the brush unless you want to. You know. So, but we haven't had an issue until this last year. We went from one to two snakes a year to 27 rattlesnakes. Is that insane? It's crazy. None of you want to send your kids to camp. I'm sorry, but you need to send them because God will change their lives. Okay. So what we did that year is I got on Amazon and I thought, I wonder if they sell anything for snakes. And yes, they do. I was able to walk around camp and save the day 27 times. I was able to be the hero. It made my day. I loved it. You should have seen me. I rode a four-wheeler with a snake stick on one side and an axe on the other, and I was a man, okay? It was the best year of my life, all right? But every single summer, man, every summer, there's something unique. But I'll bet you can relate to this in your own life. You probably don't operate a camp. You don't have those kind of issues. Maybe your problem does or doesn't affect 300 people at a time. But every one of us finds that problems exist constantly. There's always something around the corner. Every year presents a new thing. Every month presents a new thing. Every day, I've got three children. Every day presents a new thing. And there's plenty of stuff to worry about. So hacking is the idea that we can take a situation or an issue or a need and we can find a way to resolve that, correct it or fix it or make it easier. That's the idea. And today, we want to talk about worry. There's plenty to worry about. But I believe that God has some answers for us on how we can begin to hack worry in our lives. Do you ever just sit around and wonder what's going to happen next? Anybody ever do that? You just sit around and kind of wonder? Especially when things are going bad and it seems like things went bad and got worse and got worse. And then you're going, what is going to happen next? You ever do that? Anybody ever wonder, how could this get worse? Like, it's just not going right. What could happen? We begin to imagine, well, I wonder what crazy things will dominate my time at camp next summer. I wonder what we'll have to hack and fix. I wonder which one of my kids I'll have to take to the ER next and why, because that's always the interesting question. I wonder which home appliance will quit working in the long line of steadily dying home appliances, and if I'll have money to replace it at that moment when it happens. I wonder if I'll be a good enough dad to my children, and if I'll be able to lead them in the way that God wants. I wonder if the people that I met just this morning that are sitting on the front row like me. I wonder about a lot of things. But what we could do with all of those wonders is replace that word wonder with worry, because that's the reality. In all of those, I'm worrying about something. I'm trying to control something or understand something that I can't possibly do, and I'm spending time and energy and thought on all of those worries. So you could say it like this: I worry about camp. I worry about my kids. I worry about my home. I worry if I'm enough. I worry if people like me. And we can make list after list after list. If we put ours together, it would be probably overwhelming. Now, I already told you, I already admitted that I worry about a few things. But I'll also tell you, I don't worry for long periods of time. We all have worries, but some people are like wired to worry, and other people, you know, it just kind of comes and goes. I'm not just amazing, okay? I'm not saying I don't worry for long periods because I'm awesome. I'm saying I don't worry for long periods because I don't remember what I was worrying about. Is that great? What a gift. What a gift. Now, in school, I was always frustrated. God, why did you give me this mind that can't remember stuff? Because that's a problem. Now I'm going, thank you, God, that I can't remember stuff. Because I'll forget before I've even processed that I was worrying about something, what I was even worrying about. It's just how I function. But some of you were like wired to worry. You worry about everything. It seems like every day there are new triggers, new things coming into your minds that are taking over your thought process, and you seem to worry constantly. You are worriers, not warriors, worriers. Okay, there's a difference slightly there. But you might worry. You worry about your health. You worry about your family, your kids, your work, and even natural disasters, even though we live in New Mexico and we don't believe in those things. The problem with worry is that it robs you. Anybody here ever been robbed? Man, that's the worst. If you've ever been robbed, you understand what that does to you, how that affects you. Not only is it the thing that you lost in the moment, not only was it the thing that was done to you in the moment, but it's all the stuff you've got to deal with afterwards, the new fear. You've never been fearful before about this, but now because it happened once, you wonder, will it happen again? And when will it happen? And will I be prepared if it happens? You begin to worry and worry and worry. Fear, worry, it will rob you if you are not careful. It will rob you of things like joy. It will rob you of peace, just being able to be here and now, because we're always worried about what's going to happen. It'll rob you of hope. It'll rob you of God's plan for your future, and not just your future, but right now, today, because we're so preoccupied in our minds with all of the worry and the concern. So we know that we worry, and we know that worry robs us. It's a bad thing. So we should just stop it, right? Harvest, go be the church. There you go. We're done. We just stop it. No, it's not that easy. It's really easy to say. It's not so easy to do. We can't just flip a switch and all of a sudden we stop it. But don't you love it when you're just pouring your heart out to someone? I've been going through this and I don't know how it's going to work. And I can't understand how anything good could happen. And it's just all this stuff. You're pouring your heart out and somebody's listening. And when you stop talking, they look at you and say, "Yeah, you just shouldn't worry so much." Isn't that so helpful? That's not helpful. It's not helpful at all. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about people's response and how sometimes we're not as helpful as we think we are. I remembered a movie that I watched when I was younger. You guys are probably familiar with it. And so here's a little clip. You can sing along if you know the word. That's such a great movie, such a great clip. I was watching, some people are going, "Hakuna Matata," and others are like, "I don't believe in that." Right? had some very stern faces during part of that. Man, such a great song, such a great movie, but absolutely absurd when it comes down to being an answer for someone that is worrying and has concerns in their lives and what to do with all of that. So today we're going to look at God's word because it's a whole lot better than our word. And so some of our advice might not be great, but his is perfect and it's awesome. And we're going to look into 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And you can follow along on the screen as we read what God directs us in this. It says in verse 6, "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Isn't that good to know? He cares about you. The first thing that we need to do to hack worry is we need to start with a posture of humility. Start with a posture of humility. Let me read that scripture one more time. "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. At the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." It starts out, so humble yourselves. The first thing, we need to have a posture of humility. Humility acknowledges that I am not God. Everybody take your finger, point at yourself and say, "I am not God." That's where we need to start when it comes to worry. I am not God. Why am I trying to act like God? Why am I trying to control and manage and fix and carry all of this stuff? Humility says, I am not God. We need humility because often at the root of worry is something called pride. The opposite of humility, it's pride. Pride says, lift yourself up. You can do it. You're strong enough. You're good enough. You're smart enough. Figure it out. But humility says, God will be the one to lift me up. Worry is us trying to handle things that are outside of our ability to handle and things that God never intended us to handle. If God intended you to handle it, you would be able to handle it. But the reality is, he's God, we're not. He's the one that does it. He's the one that connects the dots. He's the one that makes the way. He's the one that provides the resources. He does it all. So we have to be humble. Worry is just us trying to handle things outside of our ability. You can have humility and trust that God has it all under control because, like it says right there in that scripture, he cares about you. Is that good to know? He cares about you. Don't you think that that's important when it comes to, can I trust him? Can I trust him? Can I deal with this situation? Well, does God care about me? Yes, he cares about me. Let's acknowledge our limitations as well as how great God is. And those two things are connected. We have to see the reality of where we are, somewhere way down here, and the reality of how big God is, somewhere way out there. And when we begin to get those things in perspective, we begin to understand that we can, in fact, trust him. So to hack worry, we need to start with a posture of humility. Anybody here have control issues? Thank you for being honest. We have a few. Okay, so there's a few people. Yeah, there's one. Yes! There's a few people that are saying they have some control issues, but I'll bet there's more than raise their hands. I did this with my wife yesterday, and she thought she did not have control issues. You can ask her for yourself later if you want to. But this test is how to know if you're a control freak. The first question is, do you ever help other people drive? A, only when I'm asked. B, only when they're doing it wrong. And how do you know they're doing it wrong? Next question, how many unread messages are currently in your email inbox? A, triple digits, or B, as of 5 minutes ago, zero, and I'd better check. Anybody have an issue with that? You're constantly pulling out your phone, you're constantly looking, you've got every alert turned on because you have to know every moment. One of these days, I'm going to break my phone and walk into the woods. That's just how I feel, okay? I need to get away from that and stop all that nonsense. The third question, how do you react when someone loads the dishwasher improperly? A, there's a wrong way. Or B, I weep for humanity as I reload it properly. B. That one got my wife. She was doing pretty good till we got there, and then I was hurt. You mean I don't load it right? What's the deal? If you ever answered B for any of those, you might have some mild control issues. It's possible that that's the thing in your life. Or some of you are sitting out there and you're thinking, that test isn't very good. I can make it better. And I'm thinking, you definitely have some control issues. No doubt about it. You have just identified an issue. The need, as we say, to control things can be a big deal when it comes to worry. So Peter says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't try to control it all because you weren't made for that. You weren't made to control it. Patty and I have three kids. They're amazing. We love them so much. They've changed our lives in so many ways. It's just incredible. Koa's 10, Judah's 7, and Nora is 2. And I told somebody recently, we were talking about life hacks in the series. I said, you know what? Here's an amazing hack. It's like a big, like complicated hack, but this could work. If you have two boys and you want to keep them under control, just have a girl. Boom. Because that's how it worked for us anyway. Nora walks in the room, and man, she starts barking orders, and she gets everybody straight. And I was talking to Koa and Judah the other day, because they had been in a little fight, and I said, you guys, I'm getting this whole spiel. You guys, you know, when you yell, and then you yell, and then you're going to hit, and it just keeps bigger and bigger, and it escalates. It's, you guys need to stop. And then I hear Nora over off to the side. She's watching this whole thing, and she just starts talking. And she says, she quotes Daniel Tiger, which is a cartoon. And I don't have the quote in my head, but she basically says, if you get mad, just count to 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like, boom, she has the answers. She will keep you guys in line. Just listen to her, okay? But our kids are amazing. We love them. One of the things about having kids is they make a mess. Amen? Anybody? You've experienced that. They not only make a mess, they make messes on top of the mess. And it's just incredible what they can do. Well, I'm someone that likes to be organized. I like things in their right place. I'm an organizer type of person, which is a nicer way than saying I'm a control freak. So I go with organizer type of person. So when I come home and I walk into the house, I come home excited to see my family. I open the door and I walk in and I go, oh, what in the world? My mind starts going like, how many hours is it going to take? How long is it going to take to put everything back? And man, we might be able to get this done before we go to bed tonight. Okay. All right, come on, you know. I have that automatically. I have that reaction. And everybody has reactions. We don't know why, or maybe we can figure out why. Somebody can help us with counseling. But anyway, I have some of those reactions. And earlier on, when Patty and I were a little bit younger, we had our first couple of kids, and I would come into the house, and it was our first real experiences with kids making messes. And I would walk in, and I would come into this messy house, and I'm like, oh, man, it would start to eat up inside of me. It would start to bother me. Well, day after day, week after week, I'd have instances that would kind of build, and I didn't know how to deal with them. And so eventually I would get upset. I'd get very angry that the house was such a disaster. And so I would walk in, and eventually it would build up to the point where I was so mad. And I just wanted to fix it. I wanted to control it all. And so I'd wait until Patty was going to take the kids and go somewhere, like on a Saturday morning. And I would get up, and I decided I'm going to teach them something. I'm going to teach them a lesson. I'm going to teach them, and it's not that hard to clean up after yourselves. It's not that hard to clean this house. I'm going to teach them a lesson. And so I would, with my teeth grit together, I would grab the vacuum, and I would vacuum the whole house. And you know what? You can vacuum a lot of ground when you are mad, okay? So I would vacuum like a madman, and I would clean every mirror and every toilet and everything. I put everything back where it was supposed to be, and I would get it all done, and they would come home, and they would see it. And you know what they learned? Nothing. Nothing. They learned nothing. I tried this over and over. They learned nothing. And you know what I got out of it, though? A clean house and an empty heart. That's what I got out of it. I got nothing good out of it. You know what? I'd rather have a dirty house, is what I learned. But I learned it was very difficult to manage all of that because I have this control challenge inside of my life. I want to manage and control and fix and all of that stuff. Well, I've learned a little bit about myself, and God has helping me to grow. Thank you, God, that He helps us to grow. And so I've learned about these situations, and now, you know what, I come home sometimes and my house is still a mess. Sometimes I come home and my kids have just made a disaster, but I find that I have a choice because I start to feel that well up inside of me. And I have a choice, though, because I recognize it. I can do something. I can either do what I used to do, or I can shift my thoughts instead of, well, my family must not care about me. My family must not care what I think. My wife, apparently I'm not that important. What my thoughts are aren't that important. I can shift away from all that, and I can say, you know what? I'll bet Patty had a really long day. I bet my kids were extra difficult today. I bet things just got out of control because something happened that was unexpected. I can begin to give the benefit of the doubt. There's a huge difference there, isn't there? And really all it is right here. I'm shifting my thoughts to give a little bit of grace, a little bit of chance over here. And then, you know what happens? I still have the same kind of result. I still clean the house. But I clean it with a different attitude. Instead of cleaning it to control and to teach some kind of lesson, I clean it to serve. And at the end of the day, when I get the house clean and my family comes home or we, you know, finish up whatever's going on, you know what they get out of it? Hopefully now they get a view of Christ-like servanthood. And you know what I get out of it? A full heart. Isn't that amazing? All it is shifting how I process those issues. I want to control. I still want to control. But I can choose to control and have an empty heart, or I can choose to let go and serve and have a full heart. So I choose the full heart. That's not always easy, but that's something that I've learned and I'm continuing to learn. I'm continuing to say, God, help me to grow, teach me. God did not make us to control, but to contribute. That's why we were made, to contribute. Not to hold everything in our hands, but to give. Pastor Lisa shared that this morning in the offering time, that everything we have comes from him anyway, and so we're to re-gift that. We're to turn around and extend that, whether it be money or grace or time or energy or whatever it is. We were made to give and to serve and to be generous, and as we do that, our hearts get fuller. As we do that, our worries get smaller. You know what? As I start to focus on how I can serve you, I begin to forget all the stuff I was worrying about just a few moments ago. I don't have to do that anymore. And then I get a new perspective and I begin to realize, well, obviously, if they don't seem as big now, they must not have been as big when I thought they were big. I have a new perspective and I'm understanding those things in a new context. So get comfortable with God being in control. That's what we have to do. If we're not in control, who is? It's God. In humility, trust God to care for you. That's one of the issues right there when it comes to worry, is if we're really worrying about a lot of stuff, but we know that God loves us and God cares about us, we think he does, we have a relationship of some kind with him, but we're still worrying about a lot of things, what we're basically saying is, I don't believe you really care. I don't believe you really care enough. I believe your care might go so far, but then it stops. Otherwise, if he cared fully, if he cared deeply for us, if he cared about every detail, then we would know we can trust and we don't have to worry and we don't have to live our lives in concern, distracted. The second thing we need to do to hack worry is trust by staying alert. Trust by staying alert. As I was preparing for this message, I was listening to some podcasts, some different things, and I came across a story. There was a story of a woman. They told the whole story. This woman was basically, she walked into a room and this giant spider fell on her head. So that's the basic story. Now, keep in mind, this did not happen to me. It was a story, okay? This did not even happen in New Mexico. It's a totally different location. None of this happened to me, and yet I spent the entire week walking around looking for spiders. I was walking through my house in the hallway, and we have a fairly plain carpet with little speckles, and I'm walking, and I would see a dark spot, and I would go, is it a spider? And I'd get closer, but you don't want to get too close because some of them jump. They'll jump up and eat your head, so you stay a certain distance. But and just to be safe, it's nothing. It's a stain. Okay. And then I would be walking through a building and walking down the hallway or by a wall, and I would see something on the wall, and I would stop. Oh no, Is it a spider? Is it waiting? Is it crouched there to attack me when I come by? Only to find out it's just a slightly larger piece of texture on the wall. That's all it was. And there was a shadow because it was a little bigger. It's ridiculous. Does anybody else have these issues? It's just me. I'm confessing everything today, okay? I have these issues, but it's amazing how just being aware that something could happen changes our alertness to it. Just because I heard it happened to someone one day, somewhere, to some lady I've never met, somehow that caused me to be more alert, to be more aware, which is an important thing for us to learn how to do. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Stay alert. We need to be alert. Alert to what? Alert to our enemy. Who's our enemy? The devil. What's he like? He's like a roaring lion. Now, I've read this scripture many times. I've heard it many times. But I always thought the word roaring was in there just for a little pizzazz. You know, yes, he's a lion, but just give him an image. It's roaring. Roar. There it is. Now you can see it, okay? I always thought that was there for that reason. But the more I looked at it, the more I understood there's some context to it. If you back up in 1 Peter a couple of chapters, you'll see that he's actually giving us imagery of sheep with a shepherd. And he's saying, you and I, we are like sheep. Doesn't that feel good to hear? You're like sheep. Anyway, so we're sheep. And then there's a good shepherd, which is God. And it begin to get this imagery in your mind. Imagine there's a green, lush field, and all of us sheep, we're out there, and we are eating, we're munching on this grass, and it's so wonderful. I love grass, and it's just awesome moment, and the sun's shining, and our shepherd's nearby, and it's just so wonderful. But now that we have that imagery, let's add our enemy, the devil, that's like a roaring lion. We are there in the field, enjoying, our shepherd's nearby. Now, if the lion comes and wants to attack us, if the lion just comes diving into that group, our shepherd is a good shepherd. He's prepared. He knows what to do. He knows how to defend us. And if that lion just jumps in, he's going to whack that lion on the head and take care of business. We'll all be okay. And the lion knows that because the lion is all about deception. The lion is all about being sneaky and finding ways to get to sheep. So the lion knows, and he stays off at a distance. He gets close enough where he can see. And then he begins to roar. And imagine what happens to the sheep when the lion roars. The lion roars. If you've ever heard a lion roar, it's just an incredible sound. I don't know how they produce that sound, this loud and scary sound. And we're sheep, we're enjoying it. But we hear this lion roar at just a little distance away. And when that happens, we would all look up. What was that? Did you guys hear that? Did you hear that roar? Was that a lion? I'm not sure. Okay. And it would roar again, and, oh, wait, that was a lion. Do you understand what this means? Does everyone understand what this means? This lion, there's a lion nearby is what this means. Well, the lion would continue to roar. The lion's roar exists to create worry, to create anxiety, to affect how we think and how we're feeling. And we begin to get anxious as those sheep. We might begin to get anxious. As we get anxious, we start talking amongst each other like, "What are we? You know, is everything okay? Are we going to be all right? Is the shepherd paying attention? Is he awake? Okay, he's looking. But did he see me? Does he know I'm even in this group? Oh my goodness, I don't know if he knows what's about to happen or what could happen. And you know what? He's probably so focused on everyone else that he might not be aware of my issues and my needs. And I'm really concerned about this. And the lion would continue to roar to create these thoughts and these feelings until eventually the goal being that one sheep gets so overwhelmed with worry, anxiety, and concern that it cuts and runs from the group, attempting to get to safety, but instead becoming lunch for the lion. That's the image. That's the picture. Isn't that powerful? To begin to consider what this means to our lives, because he's not talking about sheep. He's not talking about a green field and this hypothetical lion. He's saying the devil is like a lion. He is sneaky, and he knows what he's doing, and he wants nothing more than to destroy your life. And he usually doesn't, he's not just going to come and jump on you, but instead he's going to try to mess with you. He's going to try to impact your thoughts. He's going to try to get in your mind and make you worry about stuff, because if he can make you worry about stuff, you're no good to anybody right now because you're not even here. Your mind is somewhere else. And if he can get to us that way, if he can affect us that way, then we become his lunch. What an incredible imagery to consider. So when your situation is scary, look to your shepherd. Be alert. You know this is going to happen. You know it will happen. You know the tricks of the enemy. So be alert. When it's too much for you to handle, look to your shepherd. Don't cut and run. Rather, come closer to him. When you're overwhelmed, when concern and anxiety are beginning to take over, instead of the thought, don't allow the thought, well, God must not care. God must not care how I feel. Obviously, he's letting this happen. No. He's after your heart in that moment. Whether he created it or allowed it, it's happening. He's after your heart. And in that moment, rather than cut and run and say, well, I'll find my own way, I'll do it my way, I'll get some different advice, come closer to the shepherd. Because he's a good shepherd. Because he does care. You will cast your cares upon God to the degree that you believe he is really for you. I think that statement says a lot. You will cast your cares upon God to the degree that you believe he is really for you. When you really believe that God is for you, you become empowered to trust him with everything, in everything, no matter what. The Bible says that God is not one that would dangle things over our heads and say, hey, if you can jump high enough, if you got strong enough legs, if your will is strong enough, you can jump high enough, I'll give you this thing. No, it says he is a good father and that he desires to give his children good things. Give us good gifts. He wants to fill us with joy. He wants to give us hope. He wants to satisfy us. He wants us to have full lives with full hearts and be benefit to ourselves and others around us. This is the kind of father that he is. And if we believe it, then we have to recognize that. We have to reconcile that with our worry. What do we do with this worry? Well, I believe that he cares, and so I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to cast my cares upon him because he cares for us. If I could get the musicians to come, we're going to respond here in just a moment with just a simple response in prayer. And I believe that God will allow us to walk out a little lighter today. That some of you probably came in with some worries and concerns because life is crazy. There's plenty of reasons that we would be concerned and worried. But I believe that some of you came in a little bit heavy with all of that preoccupying your minds, but God is going to enable you to walk out of here a little bit lighter. One of the things that we need to understand about how God works is that, you know, sometimes he just does instantaneous miracles. And those are amazing moments, and we all applaud and celebrate those. God, thank you. But most of the time, God takes us on journeys. God takes us on a path that we got to walk out. And so as we learn from his word today what we need to do, I hope we can take a deeper breath. We can let it out. We can relax a little. I hope as we walk out of here, we can be a little bit lighter. But the reality is we're going to have to retrain our minds according to his word. And we're going to walk out of here a little lighter, but something's going to happen and it's going to start to cause worry again. And you're going to have to do something with it. You're going to have to know what to do with it. You're going to have to respond. But as we continue to do that, we begin to build up a history of seeing that God did it there and he did it there and he provided here and he took care of me there and he did. In every one of those situations, I was worried and scared and nervous, but God did every one of those in the end. He worked it out. And as we begin to build up that repertoire of God's amazing provision and love, we have more and more to stand on. The third thing that we want to do is hack worry by standing firm. Hack worry by standing firm. 1 Peter 5:9 says, stand firm against him, the enemy, and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. We need to stand firm, knowing that you're not alone. Anybody here ever felt alone? I feel alone a lot. I feel really great right now. I love being with you. I love coming to church, but there's plenty of times when I'm alone at home or I'm alone in my office or, you know, and things aren't going like I wanted them to, where I can very quickly and very easily, very suddenly feel alone. It's not reality, but I feel it. The reality is God is with me all the time. He never leaves me, he never forsakes me. I got to hold on to that. I got to recognize that and reset my mind. No, Gerald, you're not alone. God is with you. He does not leave you. We're not only not alone because God's with us, but we're not alone because we're together. One of the great benefits of why God said, don't forsake coming together. It's not for him, it's for us. It's for you and me because we need this. Because when I walk in here, I go, I am not alone. This is so cool. This is so great. There's so many people here that have dealt with stuff that I've dealt with that are going through what I'm going through that we can relate and we can encourage. You guys are praying for me and I'm praying for you. And man, this is what the church is. So you're not alone. Find strength from one another. Find strength ultimately from God and him being with you. And then it says, it's only for a little while. Isn't that good to know? Whatever you're dealing with and going through, it's only for a little while. Now, that's not to belittle it. That's not to say, oh, it's not important. It's just a little while. No. No, it's to put a perspective on it. It's to say it's real because it's real to you. You're dealing with something, and no one else can even probably understand the fear, the concern, the reasons. Nobody gets all that but you do. So it's real. But stop for a second and put it in perspective. Put it in perspective of eternity. Put it in perspective of a lifetime. Put it in perspective of all the things that God is going to do and wants to do and has done. And when we put it in perspective, we begin to understand it's only for a little while. You know, I can't put up with hardly anything forever, but I can put up with almost anything for a little while. I can do that. I can trust God. I can lean on him. I can rest in him no matter what's going on. God will place you on a firm foundation. If finances are tight, that's real. But God will restore and he will support and he will strengthen you. It's only for a little while. So keep trusting and keep being led by him. If you don't see a way through your current situation, there's just wall after wall after wall and you can't figure out what to do with that, trust in him. Stand firm in him because God will restore, support, and strengthen you. It's only for a little while. Years ago, there was a man named John Kavanaugh who decided to go visit Mother Teresa. He had heard a lot about her, as so many have, and everybody's amazed at, you know, who she is, what she's been able to do. And so this man named John, he went to visit her, and he thought, you know, he was at kind of a critical point in his life. He's trying to figure a lot of things out. He didn't have a whole lot of clarity, and so he went to see her. There was a moment when he got to sit down with her, and she looked at him, she said, "What can I do for you, John? How can I help you?" He said, "Well, what would really help me is if you would pray for me to have clarity. Just pray that God would give me some clarity. That's what I need. That's how you can help me." And Mother Teresa looked at him and she said, "No, I will not." Great. "No, I will not." And he was shocked by that. He said, "Really? But you're Mother Teresa. Like, why would you not do that for me? Why would you not pray for that? I don't understand." And then she said, "Clarity is the last thing you're holding on to and the thing that you need to let go of. That's why she's Mother Teresa." Then she said, "I have never had clarity, but what I have had is trust." We look at our lives and we think, man, it would be so great if God would just remove all this stuff from me. If he would just take away my trial, if he would take away all my concerns, if he would remove all of the things that I worry about, wouldn't that be awesome if we could just live this perfect life with no issues and nothing to worry about? That would be so wonderful. And as a concept, yes, that sounds amazing. Who would not want that? But God is a good father, a good shepherd, and he doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. And he knows that if we did not need him, we would never trust him. we would never have a reason to. And so even in the difficulties, even in the things that would cause us to worry, that would occupy our minds, that would seem as distractions, even in those things, God is after our hearts. And he's after us to come and trust him. And as we do, as we practice it, as we live it out, we find over and over again, he's faithful, he is good, his love endures, he never leaves. I don't know about for you, but for me, that's life-changing stuff. It means everything to me to know that I can trust him. Today, you might be listening to this, and you might be thinking about all the stuff that you got going on, and you're saying, well, that's nice, it's easy for you to say. Well, I understand. We actually already talked about that. I do. It's easy for me to say. It's a whole lot harder for us to live. But here's what I would say to you. I dare you to try it. Just try it. Whatever's going on, whatever the difficulty is, whatever the thing is that you cannot connect the dots to figure out any good way that this will work. Take that thing. Recognize how small we are and how big he is. Put it in his hands and say, God, this is yours. I need you to help with this. I need you to do this. I can't do it myself. I ask you to close your eyes for just a moment. Is there anybody here that you need to do that today? You've got something big in your life and you haven't known what to do and it's been weighing on you and you want to give it to him today. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. If that's you today, there's a whole bunch of hands going up. We're not alone, guys. We're not alone. Is there anyone else? You're hesitating. I don't know why. Maybe it's just a pride issue or humility. Yes. Yeah, there's more. Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask one more question before we pray. If you're here today and you have not trusted God with your life yet, you've never done that, you've never given your life to him, you've never surrendered to him and asked him to be Lord of your life and forgive you of the sins that you've done that you can't pay for, if you want to do that today, I just ask you to raise your hand. You just want to trust your life to God for the first time today. I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here? Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Church, if you would just repeat after me, there were a few people that raised their hands and said they want to give their lives to God. I want us to pray with them together. Let's just pray this prayer. And it's not about the words. It's about what we're really saying behind all the words to God. But let's pray this together. If you'll just repeat after me. God, I trust you. I want to trust you with my life. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins and to come and be my Lord. That means you're in charge and I'm not. That means you can handle it all and I don't have to. I thank you for what you've done for me. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer and you were one that said, yeah, that's me. I mean this. I'm not just repeating it. Then that's what God does, is he forgives us of our sins. He removes our past, and we don't have to stress out and worry about all that stuff anymore. But instead, we can have hope for the future, and we can walk into it. Now, for the rest of us, that many of us raised our hands and said, yeah, I need to let go of something. Would everyone just stand for a moment, just everybody? And let's just pray. I'm going to pray over you, but if you raised your hand, you do that. You take a moment, and you do that. God, I'm not big enough, but you are. I put it in your hands. Jesus, I thank you for this day, for this moment that changes us. God, when we come to the realization or come back to the realization that you are our good shepherd, that you are looking out for us, that you love us, that you never leave us, that God, your plans are so good and beautiful. Lord, that you are working behind the scenes in everything, going after our hearts and making us and molding us into the people, God, that you want us to be and ultimately the people that we want to be. God, as we struggle with challenges, as we face difficulty, Lord, I pray that you will help us to walk in humility, to trust everything to you, to look to you for answers, God, to put everything in your hands and say, you are the one, you are God, and I am not. And I'm so glad because you are good. God, as we go from this place today, Lord, help us to keep our focus. Help us to be alert, to be aware of the enemy's schemes. God, that we would not cut and run, but rather we would draw closer to you. When the enemy tries to attack, we would recognize what's going on and we would draw closer to you. Lord, that we would continue to build up that repertoire of amazing things in our past where you have done good things over and over and over, where you have created a history, God, of revealing who you really are. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace, for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Harvest, thank you for allowing me to bring this word today. I pray that it soaks into your hearts as you continue the journey that goes beyond this moment. But as Pastor Jason challenges every Sunday, Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.